welcome to the War Room. This Christmas week spectacular. Not going to do a lot of shows this week, so let's make them good ones. We're going to be joined by Rex Jones in the third hour. We got a lot to talk about today, especially about what happened over the weekend. Probably our main topics, which really are, interestingly, the same topic, are going to be what happened at TPUSA, as we covered last Friday. Ben Shapiro started off the festivities by lobbying hand grenades of cancellation at all of the other speakers, and that basically continued for the entire weekend, with pretty much every major speaker getting up and more or less declaring their allegiance to either America first or Israel first. Or, well, they don't say Israel first, but, you know, whatever colloquialism they reference. And it is interesting. It's like, you know, the white American people pretty much firmly on the Tucker Carlson side. Everybody else, not so much. Vivek Ramaswamy, Ben Shapiro. This ties in to the question of, are we a creedal nation or a racial nation? Should we go to war with Iran on behalf of Israel? Did Charlie Kirk get killed by Israel? Like, all of these things all came up, bubbled to the surface during TPUSA, and it's a fascinating insight as to where we are as a political party right now, the Republicans, being totally destroyed. And then, of course, Netanyahu is on his way to D.C., and they're going to try to start another war with Iran. Now, it didn't work last time, so they're probably going to pull out some new tricks, and I think I might have some idea as to what they're intending. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 22nd of December, 2025. New Epstein photos show him kissing and cuddling little girls. That's a story from Infowars.com. The latest tranche of Jeffrey Epstein photos released by the Department of Justice showed the disgraced financier and pedophile kissing and cuddling little girls. The images, which include a naked infant in a bath, were displayed in prominent places on Pedophile Island, Epstein's private Caribbean island. There's been a lot of talk about this. Obviously, the files were released during our show on Friday, and a lot of them were completely blacked out in an almost outrageous amount of redactions for that. Other scandals about it, we'll get into it. Some files were removed. Massey's trying to impeach Bondi over it. It's been just a ton of drama. Meanwhile, shots fired as Biden illegal rams ICE vehicles, hits officers during dangerous pursuit in Minnesota. This headline also from Infowars.com. An illegal alien unleashed into the U.S. last year was arrested at the conclusion of a violent chase that left several federal agents injured and many vehicles damaged in Minnesota over the weekend as, again, the lingering effects of the treasonous activities of the Biden administration continue to haunt us. Meanwhile, massive power outage hit San Francisco. 130,000 homes and businesses plunged into darkness as Waymo driverless taxis caused traffic jams without stoplights. This story from Infowars.com. Citizens of San Francisco, California suffered through the city's largest power outage in its history over the weekend, with an estimated 130,000 residents and businesses losing, being left without electricity. During the outage, Waymo robo-taxis caused huge traffic jams because they had trouble navigating with the traffic lights down. A very interesting set of circumstances that really highlights the modern world for me. After all, I don't know if I need to tell you this. There was no hurricane that hit San Francisco. There was no massive snowstorm, blizzard that knocked out their power. No, they just didn't have power for a while. Maybe we'll find out why eventually, or maybe we won't. And maybe this will just be our future, just occasional rolling blackouts with no explanation because the people in charge are too incompetent to keep the lights on and too corrupt to admit they're wrong. So, get used to it, San Fran. It's a lot more where that came from. Again, the Jeffrey Epstein photos continue to be a source of controversy. 19 Jeffrey Epstein accusers claim feds violated the law over the file dump. Again, we'll get back to that in just a little bit. Finally, Trump suspends all large offshoring wind farms under construction, threatening thousands of jobs and cheaper energy, but also saving the whales. Thank you, Trump, for saving the whales. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by thealexjonesstore.com. And I got more stories on the other side. Breaking news still coming up. Stay tuned, folks.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow. Wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great and they're good for me too. You can buy me now at the alexjonesstore.com.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
Watching the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. We got a lot of news to get to today, and I'm going to try to get to all these headlines, but I'm also going to spend a lot talking about what happened to TPUSA over the weekend and how it relates to everything else going on in the world, where we are as a nation, our desperate attempt to claw back sovereignty from the globalist. I think it can be very informative, all of this infighting. And actually, we have a video I think sums it up pretty well. And if you take any clip from the TPUSA AmpFest this weekend, I think this one really gives you the spirit of what was going on. Let's go to clip number four. Here was AmFest, TPUSA's flagship event over the weekend. Let's watch. Okay, here we have the Groypers going to war with everybody else. We see Megyn Kelly, Michael Knowles, kind of dumb, but very effective with a gun there. Steve Bannon, breaking jaws, taking names, sending Ben Shapiro flying through the air with the greatest of ease. Woman Propaganda was there, on fire in more ways than one. They caught Fresh and Fit and hauled him out of there like a sack of fish. That was pathetic. Tucker Carlson, of course. Ben Shapiro's back, and he's stabbing Megyn Kelly in the heart. Yeah, that's pretty accurate, actually. James O'Keefe was there in a bad mustache.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was very good. Yeah, that was it. That was about it, actually. It was a bloodbath. It was brutal. But just like the entire MAGA Civil War, which has been going on, I think, for longer than people are willing to recognize. And I was reminded of this because Matt Gaetz actually just went on with Tucker Carlson. And there's a clip going around where he explains what happened to him. It's almost like he took my explanation and just said it verbatim, because it's the accurate view of the situation, in which Matt Gaetz was blackmailed by Israel for $25 million, and that's why he wasn't allowed to become attorney general. Now, I went back and found where I talked about this on the American Journal in 2024, and it was November 22nd, 2024. It was 2 weeks after the election, and already by that point, I was like seeing the signs, and I was going, guys, this isn't looking good. We won the election 2 weeks ago, and now MAGA is falling to infighting. So this is nothing new at all. And just like always, the events at TPUSA this weekend were not started by anti-Semites. It was the chaos, the confrontation was not initiated by Tucker Carlson or anybody paid by Qatar or anybody who is dead set in favor of America first and America only. It was the Israel first people. It was Ben Shapiro who gave a speech before just about anybody else and set the tone for the entire meeting. And it was a speech in which he lambasted, mocked, ridiculed, tried to cancel, demonized, and lied about a bunch of the other speakers and like half the people in the audience who aren't in favor of America going to war with anybody for Israel, and are kind of mad that we're continually in service of that unimportant and unhelpful country. And so you've got a lot of people online now decrying the MAGA Civil War, but I've been pointing out 4 months at this point, for years, actually, if you want to take it back to November of last year, that this is Israel doing this, that MAGA's fine. America firsters, we're fine. Everybody loves Alex Jones. Everybody loves Steve Bannon. Everybody loves Tucker Carlson. There's no problem there. It's only this faction that, unfortunately, is the supreme faction in Republican politics. And they're desperately trying to solidify their control of that party. And I see this as in perfectly in line with their greater ambitions for greater Israel, with the war in Iran, with Iran that they're trying to kickstart once again, and with, you know, so many other things. The Charlie Kirk assassination would be another one. What was the main break that Charlie Kirk had with his Israeli supporters? It was the war with Iran. And Charlie Kirk was the lone voice around Trump powerfully arguing against intervention in Iran. May have led to his untimely demise, if the conspiracy theories are to be believed. But obviously, if you're not in that camp, if you're not deliberately misconstruing the way things went, it's pretty obvious where the attack is coming from. Who are the aggressors and who are the defenders? Who are the people that are trying to gatekeep the Republican Party and trying to manipulate Republicans, trying to oust their particular enemies, regardless of the consequences for the wider Republican agenda? Right? It's not actually helpful to be ousting Tucker Carlson and demonizing him. He's actually one of our shining lights. And for the sake of the entire movement, you might want to, you know, not demonize him quite so much. They don't care, actually. If the movement doesn't serve them, then it should be destroyed, is the thinking there. And of course, from Infowars.com, the headline, historic, Netanyahu's attempt to have Ben Shapiro take over TPUSA has blown up in their face. So again, everybody gets where this is coming from. Everybody gets what the intention of this is. And it's not getting into who killed Charlie Kirk or anything. It's the understanding that TPUSA, from its founding and to this day, was a primary outlet for Zionist influence in America, specifically for conservatives, evangelical Christians, and the Republican Party. Now, there's other controversy around TPUSA, too, things like Nicki Minaj being there. And I actually think that goes directly in to sort of the division that we're talking about. There's sort of two visions of the Republican Party at war with each other. One is the Ben Shapiro Israel First one, where they'll be super hardline about Israel issues, but everything else, like the genocide of white people, not that big of a deal. And, you know, offshoring jobs, H-1B, kind of a good thing, actually. You know, connections to, you know, American history, your bloodline, like that's not really all that important. People who believe what we believe are just as American as you, even if they live in Bangladesh. That's the view they're trying to push, and having Nicki Minaj on is perfectly in line with that. A very big tent, wide, you know, selection operation. Just anybody who wants to come in can come in. It sort of doesn't matter the fundamentals of what they believe, as long as they, you know, support Trump and are in favor of the Republican Party politically, then usher them on in. I don't think that's actually a bad thing. I actually think it's smart and something the Republican Party should have done a long time ago, is to try to woo and seduce over to our side Hollywood celebrities. There's no reason why there should be such a paucity, such an utter lack of outspoken conservative famous people, but there is. And that's because there's been no outreach and because obviously the you know, social paradigm isn't bent that way. So again, I think this all ties in together. I think Nicki Minaj was kind of coming over to Trump for the same reason that a lot of the big tech people came over to Trump. They were lifelong Democrats too. For her, it's because I guess she has family in the Congo or somewhere where, you know, Trump is intervening and helping, maybe Nigeria, the Nigerian Christians that she's. So, you know, for her, it's like, you know, because she has a foreign state that she's interested in. Trump is helping the people that she likes in that state. Therefore, she likes Trump. So it's literally exactly the same as all these, you know, not Elon Musk himself. He's a little bit different, but everybody else, right? Andreessen and Scott Bessent, all these guys, maybe not Bessent, but Bill Ackman. That's the name I was trying to think of. All these types of guys, right? Liberals, but they've got this foreign interest in this foreign state. The Democrats won't serve that interest, so they move over to the Republicans. Same thing Nicki Minaj did. So I'm a little bit torn. So I don't like the big tent idea that it doesn't matter. You can be a degenerate Satan worshiper, and you're just as conservative as us because you think it's useful for America to go after your ethnic enemies in your home state overseas. It's like, okay, great. On the other hand, you know, we should be bringing over more celebrities. But again, it's not about Nicki Minaj. It's about the two competing visions of what the GOP will be. The other competing vision is like a lot more hardcore and a lot less lenient and a lot less big tent. And they're just like, we don't want any of this. We don't want to pander. We don't want to pander on race. We don't want to pander on sex. We don't want to pander on anything. We just want our country back. And we don't care if, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy is a great American. We don't want H-1B visas. We don't want to be flooded with Indians. Sorry, we're not sorry. So again, these are the two competing visions, and it was really on display in TPUSA. I'd say even the Nicki Minaj appearance is evidence of where the sort of establishment wants to take the GOP, whereas the Steve Bannons, the Tucker Carlsons, and everybody else was firmly in the other party, in the other camp here. So let's go to clip number 12 here, because this I thought was a pretty important thing to be said. Again, you can't overstate how far we've come in the cultural arena. Here's J.D. Vance saying what should be obvious forever, and I'll take it a step farther, but J.D. Vance, Vice President of the United States, says you don't have to apologize for being white anymore. Let's watch.
In the United States of America, you don't have to apologize for being white anymore. And if you're an Asian, you don't have to talk around your skin color when you're applying for college, because we judge people based on who they are, not on ethnicity and things they can't control.
So, again, I'm in two minds. Great. Like, we love hearing this. Vice President of the United States, that's a pretty big deal to have him come out and say this, because, you know, what he's doing is not just saying, you know, it's okay to be white. Like, he's signaling, like, that is a very big signal in terms of what it's socially acceptable to express. And for my entire life, it has been socially unacceptable to talk positively about white people in any way, including for their mere preservation and continuing existence. Now, that's crazy, and the fact that it was ever that way is really just evidence of the sophistication of psychological operations, how they get an entire race of people to hate themselves. Very disturbing stuff. But, you know, when he says you don't have to apologize for being white anymore, how about you never had to apologize for being white? How about you never should have apologized for being white, you never had to apologize for being white, and you still won't be apologizing for being white? Like, it's like, you don't have to do this anymore. No, you never had to. All of these things are illusions. They're all fake. Cancellations don't exist. Okay? Getting in trouble for saying something online, it doesn't really exist. Unless you get Stop Anti-Semitism after you, but that's for later in the show. So yeah, you don't have to be afraid to talk about being white anymore. You never did, though, and that's really the key to understand this. In fact, I remember having an exchange with Charlie Kirk about that on X probably a year ago, same type of thing. Does this mean it's okay to point this out now? It's like, it's always been okay. It's always been okay to point out hatred against white people. I'm sorry you were tricked into not expressing self-preservation for your own people because you thought it was mean. That was always a trick. It was always a lie. It's always not just okay to be white. It's actually great. It's fantastic. I love it. I wish it could happen to everybody, okay? Vance to Nazis, come on in. Water's lovely. Okay. This is in response to Vance saying President Trump did not build the greatest coalition in politics by running his supporters through endless, self-defeated purity tests. I didn't bring a list of conservatives to denounce or deplatform. This is the best way to honor Turk. So let's play this video. Clip number 9. We'll listen to J.D. Vance, and you tell me who's causing the problem. You tell me who's causing the division. Is it J.D. Vance with this statement about not subjecting your friends and political allies to purity tests? Or is it the responders to J.D. Vance who say J.D. Vance is now a Nazi, he's dog whistling to the Nazis, that any expression of unwillingness to cancel your own friends because Israel demands it makes you a Nazi. That's the argument they're making. You tell me which side is the extremist. You tell me which side is the bigoted, you know, intolerant psychopaths. It ain't J.D. Vance. Here he is.
When I say that I'm going to fight alongside of you, I mean all of you, each and every one. President Trump did not build the greatest coalition in politics by running his supporters through endless self-defeating purity tests. He says, make America great again because every American is invited. We don't care if you're white or black, rich or poor, young or old, rural or urban, controversial or a little bit boring, or somewhere in between. People of every faith come to our banner because they know that the America First movement will make their lives better, and they also know that the Democrats don't care about anything other than maybe transing their kids. So if you love America, if you want all of us to be richer, stronger, safer, and prouder, you have a home on this team.
So again, a just direct rebuke of Ben Shapiro. And, you know, it's something to behold to see the Ben Shapiro types, the allies of Ben Shapiro. And they're really acting like they're winning, like they've won, like they're celebrating Ben. They keep posting his speech over and over. Now, again, you can tell this is purely an astroturfed operation. When you have everybody across the you know, X world who's in that, everybody going, oh my God, this speech from Ben Shapiro. Oh my, oh, you have to listen to the speech. And then the speech is just like, not really that good at all, actually. But I guess they're not trying to fool people like me. They're trying to fool stupid people. So maybe it works. Maybe it works for them. So you've got J.D. Vance on side with Tucker Carlson, with Steve Bannon, with Trump himself, really, with Nick Fuentes and Alex Jones. And on the other side is Ben Shapiro and I guess Vivek Ramaswamy and the guys from Babylon Bee. And it's like, okay, this is not a sincere division between, you know, two factions of America First. There's the America First wing and there's not. There's the Israel wing. And that's their overriding concern. That's their overriding point of existence, to be honest with you. Glenn Greenwald says this: establishment types cheering Ben Shapiro's tantrum ignore that he's been giving the same speech for a decade. He proclaims the GOP must expel all who reject neoconservatism, servitude to banks, and U.S. financing of Israel. That's also what he said when he demanded Trump be excluded. And of course, he references his 2016 article, Ben Shapiro, Why I Will Never Vote for Donald Trump. Or rather, I will never vote for Donald Trump. Here's why. I will never vote for Donald Trump, ever. I will never vote for Donald Trump because I stand with certain principles. I stand with small government and free markets and religious freedom and personal responsibility. Donald Trump stands against all these things. Okay, so again, if we'd listened to Ben Shapiro back then, we would have lost to Hillary Clinton, and he would have been very happy about that. Vance is, quote, walking a tightrope on raging Israel debate within MAGA. Again, everybody outside gets what this is about. Everybody inside on the Israel side is like, no, this is about the creedal nation. This is about Reagan. This is about people who hate versus people who love. They're just making up this crazy crap. Woman's fingers were weird. Sorry, that made me think it was AI for a second. That picture threw me off. Everybody else on the outside is just like, oh, it's about Israel. obviously it's about Israel. And in fact, most of the America First people also understand and recognize and admit that it's about Israel. It's really just the Ben Shapiro side that keeps claiming this is about all sorts of other stuff. In his speech to Turning Point's Turning Point USA in year-end conference Sunday, Vice President J.D. Vance never uttered the word that's been tearing the MAGA base apart, quote, Israel. Vance has come under mounting pressure in recent weeks to condemn and bar from the conservative movement Nick Fuentes, a young podcaster who peddles white supremacist views and anti-Semitic tropes, underscoring the Republican Party's division over the rise of fringe activists who were barely known by the public until recently. Like Tucker Carlson, right? Some conservatives have also pushed for Vance, 41, to rebuke his longtime friend Tucker Carlson, the former Fox News host who hosted Fuentes on his show this fall, and whose calls for the United States to reevaluate its support for the state of Israel have helped fuel a raging fight among President Trump's staunchest supporters. See, again, everybody gets it. Everybody else gets it. Vance gets it. Tucker gets it. Like, and even they're sort of circumspect. They'll sort of dance around actually admitting it was Israel, or like it's Israel, but they don't have to say that. We know. Prominent conservative figures in the United States have clashed at Turning Point's annual conference, exposing an underlying rift within the ruling Republican Party and U.S. President Donald Trump's Make America Great Again base. The four-day conference held in Phoenix, Arizona, brought together Republican leaders, media personalities, conservative activists, an event which exposed deep ideological disagreements within the conservative movement. And I got to say, I've only been to one AmFest. I think it was in 2022, something like that, maybe 2023, 2 years ago. Sounds about right. And Charlie Kirk was like a superstar. Like, it really impressed upon me how big his celebrity had gotten, where he would walk around the AmFest showroom, you know, conference hall, and there would just be a mob of like 100 people around him. It was crazy. But then, probably just after Charlie Kirk at his own event, probably the most popular person who wasn't even there was Alex Jones. And just me being associated with InfoWars, it was like crazy. It was like crazy how much. And being at AmFest, it also hit me for the first time. Like, yeah, nobody here is talking about small government. Nobody here is talking about lowering taxes. Nobody here is talking about any of this stuff that used to be the hallmark of the Republican Party. Everybody was talking about the globalists. Everybody was talking about Middle East wars. Everybody was talking about the things Alex Jones has been talking about forever. So it's like TPUSA is ahead of the curve when compared to the RNC. They're still controlled. They're still being run as a containment operation for the real outrage of the people like Alex Jones that understand, you know, Lindsey Graham is not a good guy all of a sudden. Ted Cruz is not a good guy all of a sudden. That actually we still have this deeply ingrained deep state that is eagerly waiting in the shadows to pick up the reins as soon as they think they can be done with this whole Trump phenomenon. And I'm seeing some breaks between J.D. Vance and the establishment. I see Ted Cruz is starting to talk about challenging him in 2028. I think that's in line with everything else that we're seeing. My stance has always been J.D. Vance does have some suspicious connections in his past, but he's a human being that seems to be more on our side than just about anybody else. And it seems to me like the people that put him in the role that he's in are maybe feeling like they're losing control of him as well. We'll get back to all of this and I'll expand on it and talk about the, you know, newest desires from Israel to get us into war with Iran and how that's playing into everything. I do want to remind you that we are in the final days of the Christmas 60% off mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Every single purchase on thealexjonesstore.com gets 100 times entries to win the Ford Raptor plus a $10,000 cash giveaway. This offer ends tomorrow, December 23rd. So do not wait. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com to get 60% off Methylene Blue Tincture, CMOS gummies, Shilajit gummies, and 40% off everything else when you try it at thealexjonesstore.com. More on the other side. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do this without you. You're the reason we're here. You're our sponsor. You are what keeps us on air. And we are launching today through the 23rd of December, the final days of Christmas sale at thealexjonesstore.com. 60% off on our best-selling ultramethylene blue, Irish CMOS gummies, and Shilajit gummies, and more. If you haven't tried our ultramethylene blue that is the strongest, best out there that we found, bar none, you're crazy. What it does for your mitochondria, your energy, your stamina, with no letdown, is insane. It's so good for you. Just research the studies. We have medical grade. We have the best. And you've seen all our guests and others that come in here, and they're just blown away by it, including those who are already taking Methylene Blue. They're like, wow, this is way stronger, way better. It's amazing. I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging everybody to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red. I met with accountants this morning. Not too bad, but we're there. And we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and get 50% off on all future orders in perpetuity until you decide to cancel. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition, over 700 designs at thealexjonesstore.com. So my challenge to all of you is this. Get a bottle of Ultramethylene Blue for 60% off right now, and then you're going to be blown away and reorder it. You've heard all the people call in with their testimonials. This is the real deal. The best salesmen sell the best products. I promote and sell freedom. I promote and sell stopping the globalists. You know my information is the most accurate out there. Why on earth would you think that I would tell you this will change your life? The Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the bovine colostrum, Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox. All these are kick-butt products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Please do your Christmas shopping there. We need your support. It's a win-win for everybody. You keep this operations, the true thorn on the side of the globalists on the air. And separately, the classic nitric boost. Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, I didn't know she knew about it. She bought it. So this is the best formula for your heart and for spike protein and for everything else. And men notice it the morning when they wake up. It is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com exclusively. InfoWarsStore.com, nitric boost. All of you need these products. Take action now.
Whoa, dude, is that Methylene Blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the War Room. We'll finish up talking about the TPUSA event here. J.D. Vance had sort of an unfortunate response to Nick Fuentes. They'll keep asking, you know, people keep demanding that he denounce Nick Fuentes. And one thing they keep saying is that, you know, he's insulted to J.D. Vance. And they'll say, oh, he calls him a fat guy with an Indian wife, right? In response to this, J.D. Vance has issued a rebuke. He says Nick Fuentes can eat poop. Is a more polite way of saying it, which is just not the best argument to make when you're talking about Indians. And just, it's just not, it's sort of a I'm rubber and you're glue kind of argument. And it just doesn't really work. Just saying, Nick calls his wife Indian, and then J.D. Vance essentially calls Nick an Indian. It's just very unfortunate. India did just celebrate their big poop eating festival. So it's a little bit culturally insensitive to J.D. Vance to use, you know, eating poop as an insult when the glorious Indian culture celebrates eating poop as a sacrament. So that's just a little bit unfortunate there. But moving on. Again, it's not exactly hard to figure out like where this is coming from or like what's causing the division. Again, everybody gets it. CBS News, Turning Point USA's America Fest puts conservative rift on display as Vance urges unity. And obviously, let's put it this way. If you say J.D. Vance is encouraging unity, it sounds like he's not choosing a side. But in fact, we just saw that in response to J.D. Vance's call for unity, that was interpreted by the Israel First crowd as Nazis welcome. See, because being for unity inherently puts you on the side that's not trying to cancel people. So by saying he wants unity, by saying that he's not, you know, calling to oust a sizable portion of the constituency, that puts him firmly on the America First side, not the Israeli First Ben Shapiro side. See, Ben Shapiro went out, condemned everybody, castigated everybody, insulted and lied about everybody, and then demanded that everybody else join in. And then nobody else joined in. A lot of people said, hey, you know, Nick Fuentes says things I don't like, but we're not in the business of canceling people. So really nobody is on Ben's side, if you really like look at it. Nobody's actually on his side. The illusion that people are on his side is being perpetuated by other people in his constituency, whatever you want to call it, in his group. And, you know, I had a tweet last year that went a little bit viral and people got really mad at me for it because I said simply, I'm sick of being called an anti-Semite because Jews keep doing evil things. So then people are like, oh, you just say Jews do evil things. And it's like, well, if somebody does something bad and I talk about it, if the person's not Jewish, it doesn't matter what I say. If he is Jewish, then that makes me an anti-Semite. See, it's not the thing or me talking about it that actually matters. It's the identity of the person that did the thing. And if they're Jewish, that makes you an anti-Semite. Do you see how that works? It's not my fault they're Jewish. Okay? Sorry. And I've always had the exact same stance with all of this, which is Jews don't get leeway because they're Jewish and they don't get condemnation because they're Jewish. It doesn't matter unless it actually contributes to why they're doing the thing they're doing, in which case you incorporate it just like you incorporate any other group acting on their own behalf openly. But it's like everything from Charlie Kirk to Jeffrey Epstein to the war with Iran to Trump's abysmal failures in his first year in his second administration, to the attempts to out Pete Hegseth, to the frustration with Pam Bondi because Matt Gaetz was forced out over an Israeli blackmail scheme. Like, it's all Israel. So, you know, it's like, it's one thing if you hate Israel and then seek out them and you only talk about it if you care about them and you only mention it if you can relate it to them. But that's not what's happening here. What's happening here is that you have all of these seemingly disparate major issues of contention within the Republican Party, and yet at the heart of it, every single one of them goes right back to Israel and the Jewish influence operations here in the United States. So it's almost like, I'll go to Benny Johnson here because I think he puts it well, but we're in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Right, J.D. Vance calling for unity. I'll play this video from Benny Johnson. Again, calling for unity, pointing out we have outside enemies that are much more dangerous than those enemies next to us, inside, near us. But I'd say it's sort of the opposite. Here's Benny Johnson doing a great job. I really like what he had to say. Clip number 5. This was posted saying, how is it that Benny Johnson ends up the adult in the room at AmFest? Let's watch.
The left has decided to no longer debate. The real enemy is not somebody on your side who disagrees with you. The real enemy is the left who stopped debating and started killing. And those sons of bitches need to be called out. I'm sick of seeing my president get shot in the head. I'm sick of seeing my friends get shot on a live stream. I'm sick of seeing stories like Brown University this week with that wonderful, beautiful girl in the College Republicans who was targeted for assassination as well. So it's time to call evil out, and let's do that tonight, huh? Let's do that.
So on one hand, he's obviously exactly right. I mean, our enemies in the Democratic Party are a hell of a lot more dangerous to us than a fellow Republican that has a different view on Israel or you know, what other non-important thing divides us. But on the other hand, how are we supposed to fight the left when we have infighting going on, when we can't get our objectives over the line, we can't get our agenda served because of these people that are supposedly on our side and yet are trying to tear us down from the inside? Like, isn't that the thing that you actually have to prioritize if you want to beat those outside forces? I mean, it feels like, you know, we as this cadre had to fight like we're on a battlefield and there's a tank and there's all these various armies coming at us from every single direction, but our enemies have control of the tank. So first we have to fight to get control of the tank. And it's like the election. We win the election. Okay, now we have the tank. Now we can actually turn it to fight our enemies, and like we're all scrabbling to get in position. I'm going to the gunner seat and somebody else is popping out through the top hatch and loading the machine gun, and then we're like, all right, let's go. We're like, why aren't we going? And we look down and there's two guys like fighting over the wheel on who gets to drive. And it's like, okay, we're all gonna die if we don't have somebody be in charge. If somebody's not in charge, if we're infighting inside the tank, then we'll never be able to use the tank to defeat all of the various armies that are approaching us. And again, in this metaphor, in this, you know, poorly crafted example, you know, it's not, again, like two people just, I want to be in charge. No, I want to be in charge. It's more like one guy's like, I'm the tank commander. I'm the one they put in charge of the tank. Let me drive. And the other person's like, no, I have this particular thing that I want to do with the tank. My particular enemy. It's not any of the people coming at us, around us, but I want to take the tank way over there to fight these guys for my own personal beef. And it's like, that's not what the tank is for. Sorry. The tank is for protecting us. And you come in, start disrupting from the inside, start disabling the tank from inside, start turning the tank into scrap metal from inside. So we have to deal with you first. Then we can turn the cannons on everybody else. Then we can fight our outside enemies. But we can't when we're constantly being hamstrung from the inside. And it's very frustrating. And again, they have lost the young people completely. And it's like they don't even know how to deal with this. I've explained this before. But like when it comes to the USS Liberty, right? Ben Shapiro was asked about the USS Liberty. He lied about it a bunch. And actually, I retweeted a video that Alex did. Alex just like blows him out of the water, just off the top of his head. He's just like laying out the facts and just dismantling, debunking everything Ben Shapiro says about the USS Liberty. But what he was basically saying was, oh, it was an accident. It was friendly fire. You know, what's the big deal? You're just an anti-Semite. That's the reason you care about this. And then other people have other excuses for why they think we shouldn't care about this, including a pastor. Now, these pastors took questions from the audience, and pretty much every single question was about Israel and not in a positive way. Wasn't a bunch of people getting up and going, Israel's so great, what more can we do for them, right? It was a lot of like, you know, you say that they're our ally, but... And when they had a chance to respond to some of the claims about USS Liberty, they came up with stuff I'd never even heard before, completely off the reservation. Again, it doesn't even make sense to me because there's actually a better way to respond to this. And I don't even want to be giving advice to my enemies, but what it reveals is this inability to accept any criticism, even valid criticism, even criticism about people that have been dead for 40 years. It's this inability to give any credence to any claim that makes Israel look bad at all. And it's like, you got to get over that. And you just need to go, yeah, Yeah, USS Liberty, Israel blew them up. It was evil. Your president was in on it. They were trying to get us into a war in the Middle East. But, you know, I have the feeling, and I'll lay out my argument as to why very shortly, I have the feeling that they're so desperate to shut down the USS Liberty talk because we are very much in the danger zone for false flag operations. And I have the feeling that we are like right around the corner from one. So they don't want you talking about the fact that American and Israeli governments will conspire to kill Americans, to blame on Israel's enemies, to get America involved in a war in the Middle East. Not exactly the topic of conversation they want to be entertaining right now, right? So let's go to clip eight here. This is the boomer pastor coming up with all new reasons why we shouldn't care about the USS Liberty that I've never even heard before. Let's watch.
Jew hate is a serious sin. What do I mean by high-performance people? The Jews are a talented and hard-working people, and Jewish mothers are always pleased to introduce you to my son, the doctor. But they are also, like the rest of us, sons of Adam, making them dirty, rotten sinners. So if they are overrepresented among the Bolsheviks and the media moguls, just remember that they are also overrepresented among Nobel Prize winners and patent holders. Professing Christians who are backsliding into Jew hate, and it is backsliding, are angry because the Jews don't believe in Jesus. Jews are the enemy, it is thought. But Jesus commanded his followers to love their enemies, which you are manifestly not doing. So why should Jews listen to Jesus if you don't? Last thing, and you may consider this a little bonus round item, I mention it only because I believe it was brought up at this conference earlier. This bonus topic is the USS Liberty, attacked by Israeli planes in 1967, killing 34 Americans. I'm making no assertions here. All I am doing is noticing. All I'm doing is asking questions, you know, like Candace does, recklessly connecting dots. The Liberty was an intelligence-gathering ship, and LBJ was president. Israel was in the middle of a hot 1967 war. How confident are you personally that there was no American deep state in 67? How confident are you that we weren't playing both sides and feeding intel to Egypt? How confident are you that America can only be double-crossed and can never be the double-crosser? Your confidence in the essential goodness of the CIA is endearing. I want to close by saying, and this is crucial, I want to close by saying that I believe that debates about foreign policy and America's relationship to Israel and what happened to the USS Liberty or anything like that are totally inbounds and inbounds at a conference like this.
Okay. Did he just say the USS Liberty deserved it? I'm pretty sure I just heard that boomer pastor insinuate that the USS Liberty got attacked by Israel and deserved it. Okay, I'll add that one to the, I guess, increasing list of absurd excuses when it comes to the USS Liberty. Again, let me, it's just like it is beyond absurd, the things these people say about it. So, and again, it's like the temerity, the balls. Israel attacks an American ship unprovoked, tries to sink it. Out of a sheer miracle, they survive. Actually get rescued by the Soviets, believe it or not. Soviets actually steamed in to help. I'm not sure if they actually did, but, you know, with friends like these, right? Israel bombs the hell out of the ship, kills dozens of American sailors, and then turns around and goes, maybe this was you false flagging us. What? Yeah, maybe you were betraying us, and we found out, and so we bombed your ship. It's like, but that didn't, what are you talking, so you attacked us, and now you're saying that we deserved it because we might have been attacking you? Like, it's so inverted, it's so crazy that it's like offensive. It's like actually insulting. Now, the obvious truthful response would be to simply say, yeah, Israel bombed an American ship. It was messed up, and I don't agree with it. Is that so hard? Is that so hard to do? Is that such a hard thing to say? Yeah, war is hell. Israel didn't know if it was going to survive. It made the calculus that, hey, if we can get America into this, we might actually make it out of this thing. It sucks, but we got to false flag America into it. That makes sense. It's not a good thing. It's not a thing an ally would do. It's outrageous that the American government took this on the chin and actually participated in the cover-up, and that the whole thing was planned beforehand by the American government and LBJ, who had been given his position when JFK was assassinated by somebody. We don't know who. But they have to lie about it. They have to go so far as to say, yeah, Israel did shoot up the USS Liberty, but you ever stop to think maybe they deserved it? That is crazy. That shows you how they really don't know what they're doing. They really don't know what arguments they're making anymore. That's not a good argument at all. And of course, it's completely historically illiterate as well. But he also has the temerity to quote Jesus. And it's like, do the uncomfortable insinuations ever crop up when he's like, Jesus said to love your enemies, so you're disobeying you're disobeying Jesus where Jews are, you know, following him. And it's like, well, wait, being against a group of people, like being critical of Jewish power, say, that doesn't imply that I hate anybody. Being critical of certain Jews doesn't mean I hate them. I don't even hate George Soros. I think he's a despicable scumbag that should be expelled from the country and probably have all of his assets seized and spend the rest of his life in prison. I don't hate him. He's just a criminal. He's just a scumbag. He just needs to be stopped. So that is a sly insinuation that is unbecoming of a Christian preacher, to basically suggest that by politically opposing a powerful and highly organized group of people, you must hate them. There's no other excuse to oppose them. There's no other excuse to talk about or criticize or question them. It must be hate. So therefore, if you're questioning Jews, it's because you hate Jews. Therefore, you're not following Jesus's teaching, which was love your enemies. Which is like, so are they our enemies? I thought the whole point was that, like, we're a Judeo-Christian country, and I mean, how are they our enemies? And also begs the question, what do Jews believe about their enemies? I mean, they don't believe to love your enemies, right? That's what Jesus taught. They killed Jesus. Somebody did. We don't know. Jesus, JFK, Michael Jackson, it was dying out there. So I mean, they don't believe love your enemies, do they? I mean, they do. So are they Christian? No, why not? What does all of this mean? What are you talking about? And the reason why it's important to harp on this in particular is because it is one of the most important factors in the Israeli Eighth Front War, the co-opting of American Christianity. It's why they just brought 1,000 preachers to Israel. It's why they're geofencing churches. I mean, they have announced and they are rolling out $1 billion influence campaign specifically targeting evangelical Christians, so-called non-denominational Christians. Anybody basically that's not Catholic or Orthodox is being targeted by Israel, insinuating themselves into the church to utilize the authority to manipulate the authority of the church and manipulate the faith of the churchgoers into supporting their political operations, which are about as brutal as you can find on planet Earth. So this is such a despicable insinuation into Christian communities in this country. Like, why anybody would be okay with this is beyond me. Because it's not, it has absolutely nothing to do with spirituality. It has absolutely nothing to do with the supposed mission of these churches, which would be to save souls and spread the message of Christianity and, you know, provide a community for their fellow Christians. Now, they are being co-opted to serve the political interests of a foreign state in a very deliberate, very explicit way. which is like an unforgivable sin. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what's meant when you like take God's name in vain, is when you stand in front of a congregation at an altar and you say, Jesus wants you to support the Netanyahu government. Jesus Christ himself demands that you give money to the state of Israel. Like, that is beyond heresy. That's just like offensive beyond belief. But that's exactly what they're doing. And it is a prominent component of, a main pillar, a main tent pole of the global push to establish essentially a worldwide Jewish censorship program. And they're moving forward on this very, very aggressively, sort of in whichever way that they can. And it's a coalition of organizations, from the ADL to Stop Antisemitism to Combating Antisemitism to the World Jewish Congress to the IHRA. Like, they're all in league with each other, and they're all pushing through whichever governmental, you know, expediencies they can get their hands on. In America, they're sort of stopped by the First Amendment, but they're making do where they can, right? Universities, they take federal money. There's leeway there. Crush their speech. You know, arrest people for insulting Jews. There's an anti-Semitism arrest just happened in Canada because of a meme somebody put that featured Hitler. In Australia, they are going all in on using the attack on Bondi Beach to crush the nativist sentiment of white Australians and to impose massive sweeping anti-Semitism laws and restrictions. In America, again, they just have the anti-Semitism czar who's overseeing every, you know, there's been an office established in every branch of the executive government, really basically every office in D.C. now has an anti-Semitism czar who reports to the main anti-Semitism czar to make sure everything from education to, you know, disaster relief is keeping out anti-Semitism, which the IHRA definition essentially says is any criticism of the state of Israel or any Jewish individual or group. So literally just silencing anybody talking about their ethnicity. Really infuriating. Now, again, they'll do it in the churches. They'll do it through immigration. They'll do it through the universities. And in America, they're having to get creative. But one of their main pushes is this co-opting of the American evangelical church in particular. And that goes into the takeover of the Republican Party, because the evangelical base is basically the engine of the Republican Party at this point. And so by taking over the evangelical side of things, going into their churches, telling them that's a dictate from God, they have to support Israel, they essentially guarantee that the base itself will demand that politicians be subservient to Israel. It's a complicated and multifaceted takeover plan, but it's rolling out in front of us.
I didn't plug last hour because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here, because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, Fruit Punch and in Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Emperor Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustained energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine, relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6, and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I've never probably on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product, or make it better, for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong. Tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the fruit punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on Ultra Methylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexjonesshow.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number four is straight ahead.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.